Before we get too far into the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, I want to tell you about Racetech, racetech.com, service centers all across America. And if you call Racetech, tell me you listen to Pulp MX. They'll give you a deal on motor work, suspension work, get the right suspension set up for your weight and or speed. Thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, helping out a lot of teams in the pits and helping out a lot of riders over the years. All right, on to the pod.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to Fly Racing Racer X Podcast, Detroit Review, Weege JT, the usual gang. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Lots to get into when it comes to Detroit. And thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, whether it's the Formula helmet, whether it's the Evo gear, Kinetic, F-16, all of it. Check it out for the colors and the styles that you want. They got the boa closure system on the couple of lines on their pants. Great gloves as well, goggles, boots, all of it. Cooper Webb, Fly Racing rider, winning this weekend. RJ Hampshire on a podium with Fly Racing this weekend. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. The best part is if you go directly to flyracing.com, punch in the code PULPMX, you will save with those guys. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. And yeah, man, exciting things coming for those guys. They're dropping something around Daytona as well, so stay tuned. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Renthal. Love the guys at Renthal. Mountain bike parts are now available in power sports dealers nationwide. So that's the carbon bars, aluminum bars, oversized headsets, regular size headsets, pedals. They got flat pedals as well. Renthal is big into mountain biking and really quality stuff, because if you know if their motocross stuff is that way, then their mountain biking stuff will be as well. Lock-on grips are great. Taking off, I hear the sales are good with those. They fit on any bar. No modifications needed. All the compounds and all the grip styles are available. Renthal.com. And, of course, handlebars, sprockets, chains, all of that. Renthal.com. Honda, Cowie, Red Bull KTM, Grant Harlan, all using Renthal. So thanks to those guys for coming on board the podcast. Motorsport.com, we'll tell you more about later. And also thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires and PRMX guys running Maxxis Tires, and developed by some guy named Jeremy McGrath, so you know they're pretty good. Soft, intermediate, intermediate to hard terrain. On PulpMX.com, there was a review of these from Kiefer, so go check it out. Not that long ago. Maxxis.com, mountain bike tires are next level as well, as we all know. So thank you to those guys for coming on board. And thanks for supporting all the sponsors, people. Appreciate it. I get a lot of uses of the discount codes. You can go to PulpMXShow.com and check out the codes to save on there for all of our partners, or most of our partners, I should say. All right, Detroit, Weege, JT, I'm Steve Mathis, away we go. All right, everybody, lots to get into when it comes to Detroit and talking about what happened there, 450s and 250s. And again, thank you to Fly Racing for coming on board. Cooper Webb winning in Fly Racing for the first time since Zach Osborne in 450 Supercross 2021, I think, or something like that. Flyracing.com, please check them out. Thank you to everybody for supporting the show. Appreciate it. All right, with me to talk Detroit. First up, he was in the booth this weekend with RC. And he was very loud, and we're going to get into that. It is the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah. Was I loud?
Loud? That's weird.
Also on the line from Fly Racing, Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
That was 2020 was the year you're looking for, and I'm very curious on this loud thing. That's weird.
So, dude, you seem, Weege, you seem like you were yelling a lot. It was a good race. Don't get me wrong. Lots to talk about. I'm not saying.
So it was his voice was not the. Those are two different things to me.
Oh, a lot of yelling.
I know what you're saying now.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying now.
A lot of yelling. Okay. Like, were you just into it?
I'll give you that. It's probably true.
Yeah, were you just into it, or like?
I mean, it was pretty exciting at times. No.
It was. It just seemed more than usual. Like, he's called other exciting races, and I felt like Weege amped it up. Maybe not. Maybe there was no Red Bulls involved or, you know, anything like that.
You know what I did? Looking back, I watched it again this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It had this odd... First of all, I do have a tendency to get too loud at times. RC and I talk about this every time. And JT, you know this. We set all our audio up on Friday, and it works crystal clear, and everything's perfect. And then we're always like, man, what is different today? Oh, there's 40 bikes in a building, and it's so loud. So then I have a bad tendency from my public address announcer days to be like, if I can't hear myself, I just need to get louder, which is not necessary when you have a mic. That's a part of it. I think the other thing, this particular race, like, I think it might have been the track. We had battles that lasted. Normally, it's like nothing happens, and then there's a pass, and it takes 3 seconds. And you just call that 3 seconds, and that's the exciting part. But how many moments in that where was it like half of a lap? They're still side by side. They're still side by side. Now they stopped in the corner. Then they stopped again, and then they cat and moused it. And I think that led to, you know, 25 total seconds of battle instead of three.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, I'm not. Yeah,
and I want to talk about the track later on that topic, but that might have been it too. But I have a bad tendency to, when everything else gets louder, I said I'm going to do too.
The louder you get,
the bigger they go.
Yep, exactly. And the riders are going big. So I mean, I mean, I get it for sure. I said that to my wife last night. I'm like, he's really yelling a lot. And my wife, who always has your back, he's fine. He sounds great.
Okay. I think I was. I actually would agree with you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. The big thing to talk about from Detroit. I didn't go. Stayed home this weekend. But the red flag rule now. Obviously, TV guys got it wrong. The rule's been changed because I was in all the group texts going, WTF, 90%, what the hell? So it was changed. TV guys didn't update it. But, man, like, why did it change? Why did it change? We each it seems really unfair for a guy to lose 7-second gap, you know, after.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the absolute worst case scenario. Yeah, so I did go to the AMA truck after the race, talked to Mike Pelletier and J-Bone, Tim McAdams, whoever else, a couple other people are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three that are probably willing to be named. And the explanation of why it changed was when you're saying 90%, but your race distance is based on both time and one lap, I think they're worried that someday someone's going to nail them on, well, what's the final 10% count as? What is the one lap? Give me the percentage of the race that one lap counts as, and that's going to change every week depending on how many laps there are, which is constantly changing every single week. So I think they're like, you know what is an inarguable fact? Is the clock at zero or not? So we're just going to go with that.
No, that
the clock
seems
is either at zero or not at zero, and now no one can say that we're changing
that's
weekly.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. We lived with this 90% rule for a long time. A few races have been called. I believe they've been called in the timed era. Maybe not. I could be wrong on that, but it does seem like we had a race called during this timed era. But, like, we have lap times. Just do the average or just do the winner's average or any – like, there's lots of ways. And the AMA can just be like, yeah man, sorry. This is what we did.
You got to do math on the fly, though. Then.
Well, that's fine. We can do math
on the fly. You do have to do math and be like, okay, this particular night is an 18-lap race.
Yeah.
How many laps are completed? Is that 90%? Instead of just – yeah, I think they're just looking for a way to say black and white.
Well,
clock's either done or not. But yes, I agree. 7 seconds is brutal.
You just do 15 minutes plus an average lap, 17, whatever, or 16, 16:45, and not what's 90% of 16:45.
Honestly, you could probably say 13 minutes, and you'd probably be pretty darn close.
Right.
Every time.
JT, I don't know why they changed it. They seem like they created a problem for no reason. Like, was there an outcry? Was this, you know, I know what you're saying, Weege. I get it. But, dude, come on.
So I don't have really a strong opinion about the rule itself. I think my question was that could this have waited another 7 seconds? To me, that's where I was like, really? Like, because I'm not a doctor. I was not on the floor. Well, I was on the floor, but I was not there with Cameron McAdoo. But in my uneducated opinion, it didn't seem like this was a life or death situation where Cameron McAdoo needed those 7 seconds.
So I asked about this. I said, how does that go? And I was told, you know, the medics are looking at the rider, they are assessing the situation, everything else, and they just go red flag. And everyone's wired in, and the red flag comes out. Like, there's no, like, hey, tell Mike we need a red flag, and Mike sits there and waits, or tell the, you know what I mean? Like, I was told it's just a direct listen to the medics, you know, and throw it the instant they yell red flag.
Yep, and all I'm right. asking for is, can we insert some
common sense? Common
that.
Sense.
I don't want to say common okay. sense, because I don't know that that's fair. But situation assessment, you know, like, you look and they say red flag, and then someone says, okay, well, there's 14 seconds left. Is this, like, are we going to have to, like, helicopter him out of here? Like, are you worried about his safety, or can we wait 14 seconds to not alter the outcome of this entire event? I'm not saying we can do that, but that's what I was thinking in the moment. That's all. That's all I would want them to look at and say, hey, next time this happens, can we get like a real assessment report of like, hey, he's in bad shape. We got to move right now. Okay, fine. Whatever. Racing takes a backseat in that situation. I don't care what the result is, if it's that serious. But if to me, and I could be wrong, I usually am, this felt like they were giving a red flag because they couldn't get him off the track. And in that situation, I think there's time to kind of look at where are we at.
What I was told it was when they did, when the one medic attends to him, and that's yellow. And then if that medic decides they need more medics out on the track, then they've got to go. I believe this is what they're saying. When now they assess that multiple medics are going to be needed, then it goes to a red. And I guess they don't want to ever, like, if it's safety, nothing overrides it. 7 seconds, 70 seconds, 170 seconds. It doesn't matter. The medics rule, which I know is a horrible look at 7 seconds, but their fear is probably, what if in that 7 seconds they waited, somebody got hit?
Well, and I get all that. I'm just saying some sort of guideline where the medics can say, hey, we're okay here.
How bad is it really? Can you wait 8 seconds?
We need to stop this. But like, Cameron's not in a life and death situation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, can we have some sort of just judgment call within there? Like, it seems like it's very black and white, where we don't know, like, this could be, he could be paralyzed. We don't know what's wrong, versus it's not safe to cross the track here. You know what I mean? Those are two very, very different things that could both cause a red flag.
Absolutely. You know what? You know what this actually oddly is? It almost sounds like this is the AMA's attempt to take all judgment out and say it's black and white. The clock, it's black and white with multiple medics. That causes a red flag. We don't look at any other what is going on.
Well,
in
that's
the race.
That's my point. Right. Like, when I said that earlier, that's exactly it.
I think your guys are right.
They do not look at what I was told. They do not look at what's going on in any other race, and that's fine. And I'm good with that, because I'm not the medic guy. You know, as much people talking about, you can't believe they let Cameron walk off again, man. I'm not the doctor. I'm not on the floor with him. Yeah. So if they determine he wants to walk off or there's no pain, let him do what he like. I'm good with that. But there's the 90%. I mean, you just you can't. You got it. 90% is fine. That rule is fine. That's totally acceptable. Yeah. It's a great rule. It's easy to figure out. I don't understand how they said it's not hard. It's hard to figure out. Like, I don't get that. And I don't know, man. I just – this really sucked for Max. It sucked for a lot of guys, you know?
Would anyone on earth have said, if they ran this by the teams or anything, and be like, hey, for now on, it's 12 minutes in the 250s and 17 minutes in the 450s. Would anyone say that's also super black and white?
Yeah.
And would anyone say, nah, man, that's garbage?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Like,
yeah.
I just, man, you feel for Max. I mean, he's cruising. Yeah. He's on his way to go 2 for 2. And dude, that staggered start. I mean, we'll talk about it when you talk about 250s, but it was crazy. It was just nuts. Max had to be like, what the hell is happening? Like, I was cruising, you know? I don't know. So, obviously, too, going forward, when the rules change, someone from AMA should alert TV crew as well, you know? Because you and Ricky were very confused up there, and that's not a good look. And then having the wrong rule up there. Look, mistakes happen. I get it. But that's, it's not a great look to have.
I don't think that's actually where we got it right, wrong this time. They showed the 90% last week,
right?
And that led to people screenshotting that and saying, "What the heck?"
Yeah, but you,
what we
you,
got wrong, but what you we knew, got wrong was okay. What's, go ahead.
Well, you knew the 90% rule, I'm sure, in your head.
Yeah, but we didn't say it either way. I don't really. I figure I know we're going to get the right answer, so I don't guess. Mm-hmm. I just say we don't know if there's going to be a stagger restart or what's going to happen, because I know eventually we're going to get the answer. So to me, there's no reason to take a shot at it. We're going to get the real answer within a minute or so. But where we did err was we were told it would be a green-white checker. So we're like, well, that's three laps, right? But what I did not know is it is a minimum of three laps. It cannot be less than three laps. So they decided, since the starting line and the finish were about a half a lap apart,
mm-hmm.
they were going to have to go three and a half laps to get over the three-lap minimum.
Yeah, so
when we were told green-white checkered, it's not really green-white checkered. It's half a lap, then green-white checkered.
Right, and that's why.
Where we messed
and
up.
Like, why is that? What? Why would we do that? What's the sense of that? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems,
like, what is the purpose
very
of that?
Uncertain at the moment. Like,
for sure.
I even asked Kitchen, like, hey, did you guys know how long you were going to race? Because we certainly didn't. We were guessing. I know it puts Ricky and Weej in a tough spot. Like, they're trying to guess when the white flag's coming out.
Ricky's going, I'm so confused, like, on TV.
Well, we were. I had no idea. But, you know, like, that's why I was wondering how clear it was for Kitchen and those guys. Because not that we need clarity, but imagine if you're a racer not knowing how many laps are left.
Yeah. Yeah, really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
we were just told green, white, checkered. And then that's what we went with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go over the finish line, and it's not green. And I'm like, now I'm confused. And
Yeah.
And I understand.
Then we were expecting white, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, but now they explain. They're like, it's not quite green, white, checkered. If the start and finish are close together,
okay,
that first part when they go to the finish line doesn't count as a lap. The green will come the next lap. Now I know.
Yeah,
but
okay,
I didn't understand that in the moment.
All right, Weej. Yeah. How long does the start and the finish need to be to make it that extra half a lap?
They said, well, it was less than half of the lap, which is true, I guess you could say. It was only about three turns. But then they made it sound like, I mean, the rule literally says it has to be three full laps minimum. So I guess it doesn't even matter. It will always be, even if the finish and start were 90% of a lap apart, it still doesn't count. You have to go three full laps minimum.
Is there any way this rule was changed for entertainment purposes of being like NASCAR,
you know,
like green, white checkers, like, which is what, you know, that NASCAR went through a few years back on overtime races, like, any way that they were just like, that sounds cool. Let's do that.
I wouldn't. The only reason I don't think is because, like, this whole situation is so rare to the point where it started last year and it hasn't even popped up yet. I mean, NASCAR is literally wrestling with this type of finish probably every third week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just feel like this is the proof that we went a whole season without ever even knowing this change shows it's – I can't imagine you'd make a decision for that, because it's a chance you could go 10 years before it ever even gets used.
Yeah. Funny that the rule came up just last week on the screen. And by the way, if you're Max Anstey, you are 3-for-3 for staggered starts. One heat and two mains. And whoever else was in that
Kitchen main. As well.
Yeah.
Kitchen.
Like, just
Kitchen as well.
Staggered start city. JT, I put this tweet out yesterday, and I know you can relate. Like, dude, they were pretty much zipping you up in a body bag back in the day, and there's no red flags. Like, you were just laying out there.
Oh. I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, I'll take this over that, you know.
I feel like we're a little far, though.
It took a lot to get a red flag.
Dude.
Back then.
Yes.
A lot.
I feel like we're peak red flag right now. And, like,
it's been a lot in the last 2 weeks. There's no doubt about it.
No, but even though, like, we had Bogle walking off a couple years ago. We've had guys just, like, spring up after a red flag, you know, and you're just like, come on, man. So I do
there's
feel
there's probably a real answer, and I would wonder if you could find it. I wonder if they'd tell us, but, like, I honestly wonder if it's even a – it could potentially be even a liability thing for the medics, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean,
we have to have these specific rules in place and all the arbitrary stuff.
Yeah.
We cannot work on arbitraries. We have to work on black and white. It's the only way to say we always did the same job every time.
That's probably true. Lawyers have ruined everything. And
yeah.
But the 90% rule should stay. That absolutely should stay. I don't see a reason to change it. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like you said, Weej, just some arbitrary number, 12 and 17, whatever.
I don't think anyone would have a problem with it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was.
I wonder. Yeah. I don't think anyone. The teams didn't know about it, so it's not like anyone complained. about the old way and said, like, hey, you can see a situation where, like, a guy's in second and he's close, and he's like, dude, if I had any clue that the race could end early, I might have, you know, my strategy might have been different. Like, you got to let us race it out. Look, you got to let, like, but I don't believe anyone's ever asked for that.
The AMA has been better. Mike Pelletier's doing a good job. I've given him tons of props. But, yeah, what caused this rule to change? What was there anybody out there being, you know, like, I just don't understand the change. And the math part doesn't add up to me either. I suck at math, and I can still probably figure it out. It would take Mike 30 seconds before the night show to be like, okay, here's the numbers, you know, or whatever. That didn't seem right. That did not seem right for many reasons. So, all right, let's get into it a little bit here on Detroit. Cooper Webb, did anybody not think Coop was going to get Kenny? Hashtag poor Kenny. It just, the track was breaking down. Kenny was trying to protect against it. Kenny's fitness, as we talked about this year, does seem better than it has in the past. I swear he's faded worse before in other races when he's been out front. He seems better this year. But, JT, I'll start with you. Like, it just cue the Jaws music. Like, I was sitting there going, oh, no, Coop's going to get him.
It's tough, man. Like, you keep thinking that that trend is going to get broken. But then, for me, as soon as I saw, like, you know, 6 minutes to go, Webb start, like, angling everywhere, I'm like, here we go. Like, because before that, you know, I think it was a mix of Kenny was kind of holding at bay and also Cooper was being super patient. And both of these two knew we were going to kind of come to a head at some point. You know, like, Coop was going to do his thing. He was going to get up there and force the issue. And Kenny was like, okay, this is going to happen at some point. Like, it was almost like Coop was laying siege to Kenny's city. You know, and you know this is going to reach a boiling point. And when I saw Cooper start going and he's starting to angle the inside and rev his bike, I'm like, with this much time left, I don't see how Kenny can hold him back there. I just don't. If this was like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, maybe, but not with 6 minutes plus a lap. I just don't think that's going to happen.
And Kenny said he could hear Cooper revving his bike, so he knew that was going. And
for sure.
Like, Weej, once he's riding these protection lines too, trying to come in hot, come in tight and get out early, like, you're just like, oh, you're playing right into Webb's strengths here, Kenny.
Choice, though.
The track really lent itself. It had a lot of 180s, and it lent itself to, as I always say, the right track makes it impossible to just block the dude behind you. Mm-hmm. And it had so many turns that were designed to, like, if you want to start on the inside, he'll just go outside in, and if you want to start on the outside, he'll just go inside out. And, yeah, he had no choice. Exactly. It's the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
It's funny, we talked about this a lot during the week, just the way this track shaped up, there were a lot of angles that you really just kind of damned if you don't. And that's like Kenny's worst nightmare, is to be in that situation on a track like that, where, and we saw Max Sansi, he fell victim to it too, trying to hold Kitchen back there. Yeah. It was a really difficult track to defend against. And I was hoping Kenny would give us some insight. I set him up for a question, and to his credit, he didn't blame anything, the track or anything. You know, he just kind of took the high road. But I really still believe, you know, sitting here a day later, that this was one of the worst tracks I've seen in a while to have that situation where somebody's going as fast or faster than you, and you have to find a way to defend against that. It was almost impossible.
Well, you had
that. But isn't that what we want?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There have been tracks where it would have been difficult to do anything about Cooper would have had to go in and just blast them out of the way. This track was, if you're that leader guy, it's your worst nightmare.
I know what you mean. There's tracks where there's only like literally one area where you can pass, but it happened to not be one of those. It happened to be one where there were about seven different turns for passes.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're looking at the track, Kenny's just got to be like, really? It's got to happen here?
Yeah.
I can't. There's no way I can block them everywhere.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you're going to absolutely love this. Mm. I do feel like the track was a little racier. I mean, it had a lot of different areas where you saw guys get side by side, and I believe there is a reason, and you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the great Ezra Lusk.
Oh, yeah.
After I talked to the AMA guys. He's not part of the – he's very adamant. He's like, I'm not an expert in the rule book yet. That's those guys. But, you know, when it comes to track designs and things like that, I will weigh in. He's very happy. Some nips and tucks of some berms. some berms that he's been asked to put on the outside of 90-degree corners. Mm. I said, are we going to make 90-degree corners great again? And he's like, yep, we're going to try to make 90-degree corners great again. So he was happy with some of the nips and tucks they made that just opened up multiple lines. And I think we saw it. So maybe there's something here.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah. I mean look,
you love Yo Dog.
Yeah, I mean, Yogi's an American treasure. Also, too, with the track with Coop and Kenny, like, you know, everything was pretty easy, pretty simple. The three onto the table was something that caused the guys a little bit. But, like, Kenny couldn't – you could go low in the turns and you could do Coop stuff and have no problem clearing all the obstacles, and the track was degrading, which is plays into Coop's hands. So, like, Kenny is just probably like, I need something to – like, you know, we had the triple in Glendale across the start straight. Like, I need something that I can nail every lap, and maybe he can't, you know, but there was nothing. It was like literally the perfect track for Cooper Webb to do what he did. And that's it. Yeah, sure. That's it. Great ride by Coop. Good ride by Kenny too. You know, obviously all of that. Was there much talk about, I was going to ask this question in the press conference, and I pulled the dark side and didn't unmute my computer and started talking like an idiot. But was there much talk about the lappers at all from Solutions and things like that? I mean, I got 8,000 suggestions. Did any...
I heard nothing.
Weej, did you talk to people about it or anything?
I do feel like that had died... Yeah, that was crazy during the week. I do feel like it died down. However, oh, dear Lord. I was actually talking to Chase, who is filling in for Lurch on Race Day Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I screen recorded that whole thing. Watch this and tell me what you see. There were no blue flags last week and the entire rhythm, whoops, or sand last week. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I mean, it just, yeah. I swear there was a blue flag in the rhythm before, though. I need to go back and watch.
He screen recorded and showed
really?
Me. I'm like, oh, okay. No, there aren't blue flags. So, I mean, the rhythm, you know, the 2-3 that Malcolm was doing into the whoops,
mm-hmm.
that whole lane and the sand.
Yeah.
The turn going into the sand, no blue flags. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so if people are going to be like, you guys got to respect the blue flag, they could easily be like, well, you didn't show us any.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, damn it.
Good news. Sexton had the best lap of the race by 0.4, and he got third. And the bad news is, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. What is he doing? What's wrong with him? Why did he just pull Mike Alesi? Like, he literally just seemed like he counted the six and went.
Oh, he went. I watched it back in slow-mo.
Yeah. Dude, it's not like he was...
Jade after the race, the mechanic.
Yeah.
He says that he thinks AP flinched. Did you see that at all,
nope.
JT? I watched it over and over.
I didn't see that. I watched it, too.
Bro,
I didn't see that.
When somebody flinches, you just don't dump the clutch. Like, usually check up. Like,
he...
I believe he tried to time it, and I believe that if he gets it right, it looks like San Francisco last year. That's what it looks
sure.
like.
Sure.
You get it right.
Yeah.
But or why are you doing that?
He got the whole shot last weekend. Like, he was good last weekend on starts. We know starts haven't always been his thing, but you can't go full Mike Alesi. You can't. You can't go full
but
Mike.
I've seen when people flinch and you kind of bump the gate like you did last year.
Yeah.
Like, that happens. That's all the time, but not this. This, he just dumped the clutch in the gate.
And then he crashes the next two turns later, runs into back of Harlan.
I mean, that can happen. He ran
I know, but like
that can happen.
Dude, you're the points leader. I just, he rode great. And he said after, he was in a good mood, he seemed like, afterwards about the race.
And he was ripping.
Yeah, he was absolutely ripping. He might have saved his season if he comes out of this with a fifth or something or worse. But I don't know, man. This is the stuff last weekend, and I like Chase. And I got another rant queued up later for a 250 guy. But this is the stuff where I'm like, wait, we're not better yet. We're not better. We're not fixed. I thought he was. He had a relapse. He was the uncle that went to rehab and cleaned up, but then went overboard at Thanksgiving. And you're like, oh, shit. Uncle Danny's drunk again. Like, Uncle Chase is drunk again. I don't know how you make those mistakes. Great ride. But holy crap.
It's even worse because of the timing of Webb really coming into his own as he does.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally have seen the last 2 weeks the exact Cooper Webb model of like,
right,
actually need to be faster than this guy.
He was 10th
last
week.
He still beat him the last 2 weeks.
He was 10th last week, and he's just like, cool, man, I'm going to get second. Like, you know?
The two things happening at the same time, the Chase making two old Chase mistakes like we haven't seen in a while, combined with Coop taking advantage of those two, is a stark, stark thing to see.
Uncle Chase is drunk again, JT. Now we have to, now I think going forward, we have to like be like, eh? Because, I mean, the last 2 weeks have been just the old Chase Sexton mistakes.
I'm trying to, but he's riding so damn well. I just don't understand. I like the start. Okay, for me, the crash of Harlan is kind of whatever because he's last and he's trying to make a move in traffic. Like that to me is not a big deal. This felt a lot like San Diego to me, where meltdown on the behind the gate, like complete mental failure there, whatever that was. Then, crash into Harlan, which the San Diego one was kind of his own fault. This was more, I think, trying to, like, force something, you know, like, first lap on your last, all bets are off. But it's like these mental breakdowns that I don't really understand. It's like he is inside his own head so badly at the beginning of the race. And then once that happens, just like it did San Diego, it's all instinct. He's riding on pure adrenaline and instinct after that and just going for it. And that's what Chase Sexton's capable of. The second half of San Diego, where he's catching up all the way to sixth, gets to third this weekend, which basically would have kind of been the same ride if you put those guys back in, Tomac, Jett, Hunter. You know what I mean? It's the same ride, really. It is. Same guys, just we lost some guys in the series. But he's hauling ass to do that, catching everybody.
Well, never mind, like you risk you risk crashing again, or in Harlan's case, you risk.
Saying, yeah. I don't know what's going on at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is happening?
What
in those moments at the beginning of the race? Like,
do you think Do you think DeCoster said, "Hey man, count to six and dump your clutch"?
No,
I don't think so either.
Going on, this is all mental for Chase, in my opinion. Like that, whatever is happening is him inside his own head talking to himself. That's my opinion. I've formed this opinion over watching Chase for a very long time. I think I don't know the right way to put it. I'm not a psychologist, but it's like he's talking to himself too much or something. And I thought that, I don't remember where Ricky said it last week. It may have even been off air, but Ricky was kind of talking about, you do all this stuff during the week and you train and you ride and you practice and you do all these things so that when you get to the race, you just react. You've already done all the work. Now you just have to like let it happen. Like get out of the way, because thinking about it and overanalyzing everything doesn't help. So you've already done everything. And I always used to look at it from my own racing, which I wasn't at these guys' level, of course. But in my own racing, I was like, I've already done all the work to determine how today's going to go. I just need to make sure that I'm not in the way of it. And that, I think that's what's happening with Chase, is his own mental stuff is getting in the way of what he's truly capable of. Not all the time, but these moments like this, I think it is.
Yeah, and I was saying a couple weeks ago, I'm like, I think that stuff's in the rearview mirror. That's why I let off this with the drunk uncle thing, because a couple weeks ago,
doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah, a couple
like,
weeks
not
ago,
all the time anyway.
Yeah, I was like, man, I think he's better. I don't think he's having these weirdo stuff. I think he's better. I think he's riding better. He's more mature.
He is riding better.
You know,
for sure.
And I know you and Keir Sexton, you know, aren't talking right now, JT, but, maybe you can go ask Keir. That was the plan. I don't know.
Was he mad at me?
Well, I assumed that you were upset when he was making fun of your baseball skills on the video, but.
Keir Sexton was making fun of me? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I put it in a group text like 2 weeks ago. He was not happy with your form. He wasn't happy with your form or your velocity or anything.
Oh yeah. I mean, my baseball was terrible that day.
Cause Keir,
whatever was made.
Keir plays softball. Like, Keir's like an active softball guy.
Whatever fun was made of me, I deserve.
Okay.
So I'm totally fine with that.
I'm kidding, but yeah, Keir was saying it. But like, I don't know.
No, I deserve all of that.
I don't know if that was the plan. Like, Roger's like, hey, in Antwerp, 1981, I saw this same gate and just drop it at six. Chase. Like, I don't get it. I just don't.
I feel like Sexton is better, and you guys tell me if this makes sense. Sexton is better than he's allowing himself to be.
Or he's beating himself.
He's beating himself.
Yeah, he's beating himself.
Yeah, like he is better than what he's just getting in his own way so often. And it doesn't have to. I don't have the answer. I don't know how to do it. I would have loved to be as good as Chase Sexton. But when I watch him, the guy is unbelievable. And then I see these other things that are, he is his own worst enemy in these scenarios.
Yeah. Well, and he rode great to get third. Amazing. But yeah.
Of course.
Yep. But.
And then Webb knows it. Like, it's just exactly going to plan. Like, he has to be just smiling so much. He's like, yep.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. The amount of confidence he's getting from his own rides and seeing those mistakes just has to be massive.
Yeah, for sure. Malcolm fourth, good ride for Malcolm off the win. Move forward. Anderson crashed on the last lap or couple laps to go to kind of give it to him a little bit, but Malcolm was coming anyways. He was on the move, so good job. Did he back up the win? No, but he immediately jumped ahead of everybody else that he hadn't been beating all year long. You know what I'm saying? Until last week, so. There's got to be some sort of mental confidence, mental high from the win, because he rode better, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Justin Cooper, fifth. I didn't notice Jay Coop much on the broadcast at all. But
really? He was up there.
Yeah.
He was battling early on.
Anderson, sixth. Yeah, it was a pretty good crash by Anderson. That had to suck, given throwing that away. Although, Chase would have got him, right? Or Chase had gotten him.
What do you guys think? I was going to ask you. What do you guys think about that? Battle with Chase.
Oh, I mean, typical Anderson, right? Like, and Chase said that much, like in the press conference. Like, I mean, whatever. I didn't see anything outside of the lines.
No, it's fine. It's just Anderson, right? You know, like everybody else got passed, and you didn't see that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh boy, here we go again. You know what I mean? It's almost, I don't know. You know, I hate that type of stuff. He didn't go over the line. He didn't.
No.
But it was just funny to watch Sexton passing people, and then he gets to Anderson. It's like, oh my God, it's you know, like we're firing off like missiles here. You know, it's crazy.
I mean, it's for the final spot on the podium. It's money. It's, you know, I don't know. I guess I get it.
I know,
it.
But he passes Malcolm. He passes all these guys, and it's like, okay, this guy's going way too fast. I can't do anything about it. Anderson's like, oh, hell no. We're not going down without a fight.
You will not attempt to pass me, sir. No. Yeah, I know.
I will give Sexton a lot of credit for the way he kind of handles that in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know who you're racing. You know what Anderson's going to do.
Yep.
But you can tell Chase was not pumped in the moment. Like, I will stand by that. You can tell Chase was pretty fired up in the moment because he was getting really aggressive back.
Barcia, seventh. Ferrandis rode good to get eighth. Dylan rode well.
Does anyone know why Barcia was so pissed after the race? He was fired up, but I don't know what about.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. If anybody talks to him, whatever. I don't talk to him regularly, but he was not happy about something.
We had a Forkner Cullen Park beef after the race. I know that from people that were there, but
yes, there was that.
No, I don't. Yeah, I didn't hear anything. Dylan rode well in eighth. That's a good job coming back from an injury. He couldn't race last week. So, and AP, I don't think AP fell. Did he? Did I miss a fall?
No, he was sick, though.
Oh, he was? Okay. All right. So the sickness continues. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
We got chicken food poisoning going on. We got sickness. Okay. So that was not a good ride by Aaron, but he was sick. So get it. But he did grab the whole shot. He did lead. Justin Hill, 10th. Yep. Justin Hill's just – look, this field is thin now, guys. A lot thinner than just a few weeks ago. Like, Hill could consistently be in the top 10 here if you look at this. Like,
I mean,
is he better?
I honestly think he should be.
Yeah.
Like, if he rides to his ability, he should be.
It's him and Savacci and Dylan finishing, you know, somewhere around the factory guys, I think, going forward.
And you have to think, the scary thing is we're in this phase now where we're not going to get anybody back for a while, and we're probably still going to lose guys. So we're
– yeah.
At some point, you start swinging back the other way where guys start coming back, but we're nowhere near that. We're still going to be losing guys just because that's the nature of it. We almost lost Joey and Benny in the same 5-second span.
Oh, my God, Joey's crash. Oh my God, dude.
We're going to continue to lose guys here for a bit, so it may get really thin. Let's hope not, but it could.
Wait, did you see Joey's crash on social?
Yeah, I did. I don't know how I didn't see it. I mean, dude, I was on the floor watching Benny crawling around. And then a red flag came out, and I'm like, I'm going to try to run up to the booth and watch a rest of practice up there. And I guess in that time of turning my head, he endoed. Like, the fact that I
did. It was huge.
Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy that they're in the same camera shot. Like, it is crazy.
Yeah. And also, Benny's crash was dirty also.
It was.
I kind of blame myself for that crash a little bit on Benny.
You blame yourself.
Well, I don't
I'm here for it. I want to blame you, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, last week, I don't think Benny's been as good in the whoops this year as I remember him be. Like, look, he's been good, but, you know, Benny has, like, oh, my God, speed in the whoops, right? Obviously, he's a giraffe, and like, it's sometimes it, like, literally, you know, it's peak Craig and peak Malcolm days, right?
Yeah, he can get away with a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but for people that have never ridden, he can just get away with a lot more without penalty.
So I said to him last week, I'm like, hey, man, like, you're good in the whoops. You're not. It's not bad for you. But I don't notice like Benny Bloss. Oh my God, speed in the whoops. And then he said, "No, I'm good. I feel like I'm good. I have no problems. I feel like I'm as good as ever in the whoops." And I'm like, "Okay." So I just wonder a little bit of him was trying to, you know, maybe impress me a little bit.
You were in the back of his mind.
Yeah. Blame me a little bit.
Possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Hill 10th, Nichols 11th. Nichols has kind of righted the ship a little bit. Like, it wasn't good early. But, I mean, he was still recovering a bit from his off-season crash, I guess, and hadn't had a ton of time, but he's riding better lately. Shane, 12th. Joey, 13th. Joey was last, I think, early in the main. He fell somewhere and came up to 13th. So, Oldenburg, 14th. Jerry. Jerry was good all day. Jerry rode right into the main.
I was happy to see that.
He's been really good
the last week.
He's been really good. Yeah, he's been great. Like, if he stays off the ground, I mean, this is peak Jerry, I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe SMX was peak Jerry.
Yeah.
But he's following that up.
I was telling him, I'm like, hey, man, like, you're good enough where you should be the first privateer guy. You know? And like, I'm not counting Oldenburg and Joey.
Like, ahead of guys Michael Rath and those guys?
No. I mean the other guys. The tier down from those guys. Okay. You know, not on a team, per se. Well, but Harrison's
like the Moran, Starling.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I just wanted clarification because privateers could be.
I know.
Some pretty damn good guys.
No, like, yeah, Ferrandis is a privateer, for example. So.
Right.
Speaking of that, on an off note, do we think I loved Lars's video. That's really cool. Typical Lars, like, you know, getting the fans involved and talking about it and being open and transparent. That's great. Do you think he takes my suggestion and puts Dean on the bike? Do you think he puts someone else on the bike? Do you think they don't fill it at all? What is sort of the buzz around there? Either one of you guys?
I asked Lars about it. He said, as of now, they do not have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't have any sponsor thing that as of now says they have to do it. He can't, I guess, rule out that up 2 months from now, somebody's like, you know, maybe I'm second thought. And the only other detail I have is if Dean gets the ride, he will make it as clear, obvious, bold, italics, all capital letters, that it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad, but, I mean, that's just petty, you know? Shows his character.
It's just petty.
It's just petty. We called him last week on the show, Weech, and pitched him.
It shows his character.
Yep.
Good God.
Yep. But I mean,
I can't believe Lars fell into that trap. I would have not. I mean, I would have been... New phone, who's this? If you're texting him and say, come on the show live, I got an idea for you. Like, I cannot believe I would have never done that, taken that call.
You don't think Cliff White would have taken that call?
No.
You don't think Cliff would have?
Dave Arnold?
Yeah. Hey, Dave. Cliff.
Dan Bentley?
Yeah. But honestly, Dean doesn't have a team right now. Yariv would help him, I'm sure, if he came back. But it's his last year. He wants to ride the second half of the season. It all works out. It's a feel-good story all around. Let's make it happen. Come on, Honda. Let's do it.
I even heard, just to add a little momentum to that, the Lawrences are going to keep their VIP program going, and Dean would be more than glad to interact with that as well, so they could have a racer come on over. Now, it's a lot to like with that program.
Now, Dan told me that the brothers are going to continue to go to the races. Like, they might switch off. They're not, may not be both of them, but they are going to continue to go to the races, which is pretty cool. Yep. I was super stoked to get another Jet Lawrence update on the broadcast. That's, I mean, we just needed, maybe next week we can check in again from the couch. Can't wait. And maybe Deegs, well, Deegs will be there, but.
Wait, what do you mean? Why, have we had other updates on Jet from the couch?
Last week in Tampa. There was a, here, Jet Lawrence is hurt, and we talked to him about his surgery.
So when Aaron Rodgers got hurt for the Jets, like, we never heard from him again until, like, he came back to playing. Like, we just never, and any of the Fox pregame stuff or the Jets games, they just, they never had any Aaron Rodgers updates. Is that, like, the parallel that you're drawing?
Well, generally, they, think we I mean, go? They speak once after a surgery or after an injury, and they come out and they talk about it, and then we wait.
No.
That's well, I look forward. Okay, true. I look forward to.
Wait, I don't. What do you? There was a Zoom interview with Jet last weekend
in Tampa.
There was.
Yeah.
Who did the interview?
I don't know. I'm positive.
I don't recall this. Do you recall this, JT?
I definitely didn't see one. I don't even know who would have done it.
I'm positive.
Who did it, Lee?
Okay, so wait. Maybe they posted the social. Maybe they posted Jet's video, the Jet's social media video.
So that. So because they posted a social media video from pre-surgery.
I don't know. Maybe it was an interview. I don't know. It was either the social media video or it was the interview. I don't know.
Defending champ. We're not talking about him until.
Of course we are, but we got it. He hurt his knee and we got it and now we're moving on. You know?
So post-surgery, you don't want any interview with him done.
Was it a successful surgery?
I believe it was.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
You're so.
That's all I need.
So old man yelling at the clouds right now.
Okay. All right.
So your thing is that you're mad they had two interviews 2 weeks in a row, but that actually wasn't the case.
It wasn't even an interview.
We don't know. I
it
can't
was just
remember.
His social post
I can't remember.
Week.
I think it was a social post.
You
maybe it wasn't.
Rant on it, especially since you don't remember.
Look, I look forward
I don't
to
week. Believe they did a Zoom with him.
Okay,
last week.
I look forward to Dallas. I can't wait. Hey, Jet, how's the couch? How's the knee? See you soon. I can't wait.
We gotta
get
you a hobby.
You know what's interesting? I'll go back with another football analogy.
Okay.
Do you love how in every NFL game, if the team has a star quarterback, when one team scores, while the team's celebrating the end zone, they immediately show the other quarterback getting his helmet on?
Yep.
I hate that.
I do.
Why do they show that?
I actually do kind of hate that. And I don't like the shots.
You do, actually.
And I don't like the shots of the owners. Like, dude, we don't care.
Oh, okay. So you're consistent, at least.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. Like, hey, man. The quarterback's grabbing his helmet. Oh, right now in the NHL, the other team scores. They show the top of the coach's bald spot on his head looking down at the replay to see if he should challenge it or not. That's the shot we get all the time. The top of the coach's head. We know which guys need the hair stuff or the painting on. Or, you know, we all know that.
But at least that's a strategic part of the game. Like, the coach is making a decision. Let's see what he's doing. But in the case of the NFL, it's like, the defense gave up a touchdown. Now let's see how the quarterback feels about that.
Let me guess. The team scored, and now the offense comes back on? Oh, wow. Okay, who knew? Anyways, listen, back to
IJS, I'm just saying this is how the stars are treated
in
every
that's fine. I'm
live
perfectly fine.
Sport.
I'm perfectly fine with a Jet Lawrence interview and an update.
No, you're not.
I get it.
Clearly.
Let's just back it down, though, okay? All right,
we did it one time.
Back to Honda. Do you think they fill it? You do?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Weege?
Yeah, I do too.
With Dean or with someone else?
I think Dean is the likely, the logical choice, I should say.
Okay. All right, well, I'll be taking credit for that too. Get ready.
No. He said in the press release.
Yeah, well, there's no way that's going to get past the Honda lawyers. Defamation of character, slander. Harassment. There's no way that gets
through. Well, if you remember at Anaheim 2, I got clarification because when Jet did better at round 2, the press release said, we weren't as bad as some in the media made it out to be. So then I asked him with you, who is some in the media?
Yes,
and he said it was you.
That's right. You did, actually. Yes, I forgot.
Specifically you.
Hey, Chiz tied McGrath for career starts. That's pretty cool. I told him that on social. He was stoked. Anytime you could tie McGrath, that's cool. So, good job, Chiz. Also, Chiz put on our group text, maybe on social, Chase, the Rocky Mountain guy, was the live guy, right? And he was in the stands. And he was trying to give away tickets to Monster Jam or whatever.
Oh, and this is so good.
Gare Bear and Donna were right in front of him.
Oh, I was loving it.
Oh, love it. Gare Bear and Donna.
Oh, I was dying.
Yeah, that's great. Good to see. I asked
All the chizzes.
All the chizzes, just chizzing everywhere, all over the place. I saw his parents last weekend in Tampa, and I said, is he really going to hang it up? They're like, Gary's like, nah, he's still going to race. He's going to do something. He's racing. And I'm like, okay, man. All right, Moran's 18th. Hey, Hard Dog, first main event of the year. Harlan with an LCQ win, too. It's about time.
It's
about time, man. He's better than what he's been showing, for sure. And all of a sudden, I wanted to look at this before the pod. I forgot. My bad. A-Rod. I don't know what happened to A-Rod. I don't know if he needs to be tested for HGH or something.
But no, he didn't. He said, if you would watch the shows that we do, Steve, he didn't start riding for the season until January 3rd.
That's right. No, you're right. I did see that. So, yeah, I suggest in the future, A-Rod, if you're listening, maybe prep a little bit before then. Because he's much better.
This was by choice. I don't think this was his master plan.
I don't know, man, but he's so much better than he was at Anaheim 1 and then the second round and all of that. Yeah. So, good job, A-Rod.
We'll also talk to him on press day. He likes the new frame KTM better than the old one. He got some suspension changes, and I'm like, bike setup.
So
he also cited that.
This January 3rd thing was not the plan, I don't think, but I do think it was the plan for Josh Greco. That's all. I'll just leave that there.
I talked to A-Rod last year. This is such a Privateer Island thing. I think it was outdoors. And I'm like, how's it going? And he told me, or maybe it was Supercross. And then he's like, yeah, I got my suspension done, but it didn't quite feel right. We went down 4 rates on the spring. And I'm like,
what?
I remember going, who's doing your suspension that they're 4 rates off? Like, something is gone wrong. The plane has hit the mountain here. I'm positive he told me 4 rates down, and it was much better.
You think?
I was like, these privateers, man. I don't know, but I was just laughing. So then also, too, Benny.
So he was able to feel that difference? He was able to.
Yeah, it made a difference. Yeah, imagine that. And then Benny crashed out, got last. So, and then he missed his flight. Delta screwed up his flight. Good job, JT, on that. He couldn't get home.
Oh, yeah, it had nothing to do with weather, I'm sure. Not that the foot of snow we got in Detroit, I'm sure, had nothing to do with it.
Oh, man, listen, I didn't go this weekend, and, like, secretly, kind of happy. Did you guys go outside at all to the trucks, like, to anything?
Oh, it was horrific out there.
Right.
Horrific.
Did you go?
Yeah, I was five hours delayed getting home today.
Did you go out to the trucks at all, or no? Just like,
yeah, I mean, I was outside off and on all weekend. Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed
it. Right,
it was nasty, no doubt. Yeah, I was outside quite a bit. Oddly, it was colder when it wasn't snowing, so you was like, pick your poison. It was freezing cold, or it warmed up a little bit, but then snowed.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, it didn't look like much fun, that's for sure. But I'll be back in Dallas this weekend. So, all right, thank you to Fly Racing. Pulp MX code to say with Fly Racing. Get the same gear Cooper Webb won on this weekend in Fly Racing. And grab the share of the points lead as well. FlyRacing.com. Who you got for this championship? Weej? They're tied.
Dude, this is
11 rounds to go.
If you're Cooper Webb, this is just exactly how you draw it up. I could be wrong, but this is exactly his game plan.
So you're going Cooper Webb.
Yeah.
I went Sexton. He had a relapse. He'll get straightened out. He'll get clean and sober. I'll stay with Chase. JT?
I think Webb has the serious upper hand for now. The only caveat that I'll throw at you is I think the last 2 rounds favor Chase a lot. So I'll say Webb, but if it's really tight, I think Sexton will be better at those final 2 races. So that could be interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I was thinking about this yesterday, Daytona. Like, Jet's such a favorite there, and Eli Tomac is such a favorite there, and they're
Webb's
gone.
Webb's been so sneaky good there.
Yeah, he has been, like, but
he hasn't won.
Yeah.
But if you look at his results, they're shockingly good at Daytona.
But doesn't it seem like Chase would be really good there too?
I agree with you. I was more super surprised mm-hmm. at Webb's great results, because I don't ever remember him being awesome there. But then I look at the results and like, he's just podium every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be great. Daytona in a couple of weeks. My friend Justin, he used to race. He assures me that I'm good to go for Daytona. So,
with Frank?
Yep.
All right.
Class act, that JB. Class.
I've never seen someone's poor behavior awarded more than Steve in Daytona.
It's tragic, really.
It's not. It's not tragic at all. We'll see. We'll see. Thank you to Fly Racing, of course, for coming on board. And whether it's helmets or gear or whatever it is, they got it for you. And I wear the under protector as well. I've been wearing that Fly Revel chest protector underneath the jersey. Use the code PULPMX when you're checking out. And Jason Wygant, also a Fly Racing athlete as well, but not Lane Wygant, unfortunately. Working on that. Thank you to Motorsport, motorsport.com. Go through the banner on PulpMX to help us out. Dedicated team of gearheads there. Make your next ride the best ride. Great prices, OEM and aftermarket parts. And go through the banner to help us out. The number one online ordering place in the world is motorsport.com. Renthal and Maxxis, we talked about at the top. Thank you to those guys. And also, Weej, have you dreamed of owning a pro motocross compound?
I have.
Jerry Lemberger and his team at Scenics Sotheby's International Realty bring you an unbelievable opportunity. Bamland is for sale in Greenville, Florida. Bamland, Weej.
I'm thinking about it.
This turnkey training paradise features two tracks, two supercross tracks, a motocross track, a massive shop, gym, RV, hookups, living quarters, and all the equipment you need to run this place. Own the ultimate motocross dream. Call or text Jerry, 850-842-1058, Weej.
As I said on one of your other shows, we'll see how spring baseball goes.
Okay.
And if my kid bats less than 900, because that's the standard we set.
Yep.
We're going to sell all the baseball stuff, and we're going to spend millions of dollars on a motocross compound.
Where is Greenville, Florida? It's Jacksonville, or is it the other way?
No? It's not that far from that whole Carroll area.
Oh, it's not? Okay. All right.
It's like out in the panhandle over there.
All right. Check it out, everybody. Weech probably has the money to buy this, like, in his couch cushions right now. Also, Weech on XMaps.
Yeah, you might be able to find Bamland with it, because you can get public and private land information. That doesn't mean you can just go ride there, but you could at least find out where it is using OnXMaps. Go to onxmaps.com or OnXOffroad in the App Store, and you can find public and private land trails. Good if you're even like a dual sport or an adventure bike guy, or if you are someone who will soon be in possession of a UTV or a side-by-side, anyone on this call, maybe going to be one of those?
Maybe.
You could find some great trails. And also, you know, even like back roads, maybe you have one that's street legalized, which is kind of the cool thing these days. You could really find out where to take it. So if you're going to get one and you want to take advantage, I would go to OnX Maps.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Yeah. 250s, Detroit. We talked about the red flag. Total bullshit. Poor Max Anstey. Let's talk about Max, though. JT, I'll start with you. Look, Levi is already some points down, obviously, and Levi can beat him straight up. I really believe that. But, like, the way Max is riding, the starts, he looks in control. It's hard to see Max Anstey off the podium. It really is. He's riding so good. Like, even if he gets a sixth-place start, like, maybe he gets a third or something. Like, he just looks so good. He looks in control and calm, and Max Anstey.
Yeah, he's the most polished right now. Most speed, best starts. He's the best guy right now. But that can change. You know, that's fluid. Like, look how much better Kitchen was from round one to round two. So, I don't think we can just stamp this thing. Because we know better. These things change way too fast, and one crash or one stupid thing or one incident at the goat farm or anything can change all this so quickly. But agreed, right now, Max Anstey looks like the best rider in the 250s field, bar none. I don't care what happened in the green-white checkered fiasco. Anstey has looked like the best guy, period.
Yeah.
Now, these other guys have to respond and hope they get some luck, or he has a very good chance of running away with this thing.
I agree. You just stay away from Cole Davies.
That's good.
Cooper Webb probably recommends that. Nate Thrasher recommends that. Weej, it's cool to see Max is doing this, really riding well.
Yeah, he really is. It is crazy, though. He ends up only being 9 points ahead after Kitchen was had all his problems at the opener. You know, part of it by a 6-point swing here with that red flag situation. But 9 points is not a lot. And you know what, JT, I want to ask your opinion on this. Kitchen caught, passed, and pulled away from him in the heat and then could not do it in the main. That was pretty impressive. I want your analysis of Max figuring something out because Kitchen was better. And then in the main, Max is better than him. I don't feel like we see that scenario a lot.
I think Max is the best rider by far in the whoops when they get really tough to hit.
Ah.
So when they're kind of easy, no problem. Everybody's going really fast. When they get beat up, similar to how Malcolm was in Tampa, he yep. just eats those other guys alive. And you were doing the race call when they did the red flag on that first lap. He just motors away. And I think had he not gone to the outside in the sand on that first lap, he probably wins. Because I don't think Kitchen would have got close enough to play the cat and mouse stuff, which is really where Max lost it. If he keeps that gap, does a clean lap to get to the whoops again, I think it's over. I think the fatal mistake was going outside in the sand.
Some great analysis. Heat race whoops versus main event whoops.
Levi said last week was just nerves. Just not... Like, that's a little odd, but hey, sure. He rode much better.
I mean, it's hard. Sure. I agree, but man, that was a huge difference. So whatever, mm-hmm. if that's what it was, so be it. That was a gigantic change.
Now, Hammaker had food poisoning, and McAdoo apparently had some food poisoning, and it was the chicken from the team, I guess. I guess Levi stayed away from the chicken. I don't know. Look for a full deep dive in the Pulp MX show tomorrow night about the chicken and staying away from it. But,
There'll be chicken analysis?
There'll be chicken analysis, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, it was weird. I was in the PC truck after the free practice, hanging out, and everybody was fine. And no one appeared sick at all. And then eventually hear that McAdoo and Hammaker are sick, and I'm like, how could that be possible? But I guess it's because they're lunch or dinner in the truck.
Really surprising you didn't take the free chicken that was probably around, Weej.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, thank God I didn't go in there after the first time practice or whenever they were serving that, because I would have absolutely helped myself.
Oh, I forgot something about 450s. About Ricky. I actually liked it. He was kind of hard on Chase after the race. You can't make those mistakes, you know, but, like, I liked it because it was all the stuff that us three have been saying. Ricky kind of went after Chase a little bit, which I think is great. He's the GOAT. Go ahead. You know? It's just – it's so rare to see Ricky, I feel, step up like that.
I don't want to speak out of turn here, but Ricky gives me a lot of feedback about how I can be better, how I can do things, and I really want him to ask him for it. And the only thing I've ever really offered to him, not really to be better, is I'm like, hey, I would kill to have the resume that you have and to have done the things that you have done, and you have great insight. I want to hear it as a fan. I want to hear what you really think as a fan. So if you think that this guy's doing something right or wrong, say it. Like, just say it. And so to your point, I think he did. I think he saw something in Chase that he felt like he didn't do this right. He should have done, you know, like, he has the credentials and the credibility to say it just how he sees it. Mm-hmm. And I love that he did that. I'm 100% in agreement with you.
Well, he told me one time, I think he said it publicly, that he said something about Faulkner, and Faulkner texted him, and he didn't like it. He didn't like somebody being mad at him.
Of course they don't. Right? Yeah,
but,
of course.
Like, I would have a photo stored on my phone of all 15 number one plates, and I just literally reply back. I don't know.
This is not a personal attack.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean? But that's how I think that's what Ricky doesn't want, and I am assuming a lot here. I'm not trying to speak for Ricky. He's never told me these things. I'm trying to rationalize why he wouldn't want to do it, and he doesn't want to come off as a personal attack, and I don't think it is. I think that Ricky has earned every right to share his true opinion of the racing he sees, and that's all I want to see. I'm not even talking about as a colleague of his. I'm talking just as a fan. I want to hear what Ricky Carmichael thinks about what's happening on the racetrack.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you look at Troy Aikman, you look at Tony Romo. I mean, the very best guys have been critical, right? And it's what people want. It's not a slamming. It's not an unfair.
It's not.
You know, it's a fair criticism, and we want to hear from it. So I like that Ricky did that. I should actually text him and tell him that, because he doesn't say much. And I shake my head sometimes. I'm just like, come on, RC. By the way, Max Anstey, the Bobby Reagan comment on the podium was awesome, but then found out through different people that Bobby loved it too, because that's the way he motivates his riders. And I just shake my head. So, right on. Good job, Bobby.
It was amazing that Max seemed more mad about the Bobby phone call than the AMA call.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He would seem more mad about that.
Yeah, totally. But this is all fine. Bobby Reagan loves it. This is what he does, and we move on. And
Max said in the press conference, he's like, you know what? I think it actually worked.
I was texting right around after that with a former star rider, and I said, can you believe that? And this guy replied, no, man, I don't think he said guarantee. He goes, I bet Bobby is loving this. This is what he does. I guarantee you there will be no problems. Yep, sure enough. No problem.
Yeah. No, but Max said in the press conference that he then called Bobby after the race.
Yeah.
And they're good because he admitted it worked.
Yep. And this rider nailed it. This X-Star rider nailed it. Like, that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah.
Odd.
But to say, to use the podium to communicate with your team owner is impressive.
Yeah.
If you're not going to come to the race, don't call me. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. Because I had DMs saying, is he fired? And I'm like, no, he's not going to be fired. But, like, yeah. All right, RJ Hampshire, we got the full RJ experience. It was great, fantastic, a so-so start, work his way into third, crash, get back to fifth or sixth, and then work his way back to the third. Fantastic, RJ, thank you. Thanks for giving us another night of you being you. Just 1 week after getting hung up on a tough block for a lap and burning it to shit. So, it's great.
I can't even remember where I heard this. When he got stuck last week, did he, like, unlap himself or something, and then the red flag messed him up too?
No. We should have covered this last week. He was not unlapping himself, but they put him at the back a lap down, because that's how it goes. That's the rule. So he was, like, seventh or eighth overall, like, seventh or eighth position, but a lap down. Do you know what I'm saying? So then when the flag went, he should have been a lap down in seventh and eighth, but the rules state that you got to go all the way to the back. And I was saying, I said that last week. Should we have given him a lucky dog? And you guys laughed.
Yeah, you did say that. I didn't quite understand why you said that, because he addressed it. I think it was on the press conference. Like, he was super mad. He said even by 6 p.m. Sunday, he was still angry.
Yeah.
And he was, like, calling Nick Dog, saying, like, do we need to call the A&A? Like, he was furious about this. And I'm like, I don't know what the situation was. So I see. He should have been circulating on the track in seventh.
Track position higher.
Yeah.
Further ahead, track position.
Yeah, but still a lap down, which, who knows? That could be 2-3 positions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But I would give him the lap back. Let's do that. Give him the lap back and put him at the back.
I'm seeing a trend and a pattern here where these staggered restarts are causing mayhem.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Well, I got another one. Kitchen. This is Kitchen's tale of the three restarts. We already know what happened last night. The heat race, his fuel line comes loose in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the red flag, they had time to, like, oh, crap, get a zip tie on there and I can go back in. So that helped him. And then in the main, he gets a horrible start and then falls in the first lap. He's coming from about last. He passes four guys in one lap, and then they come across the line, and then they red flag, and they revert back to the previous lap.
Yeah.
So he lost those four passes. So this is his tale of three restarts.
Is this where his choke was stuck on?
No, he said a fuel line
caught
on the choke because of the zip tie.
Also, I believe you're not allowed to work on the bikes. I don't know if that counts as working on the bikes or not, but I believe you're not allowed to work on the bikes during a staggered start. But I don't know if that...
Well, I will say, we did see him on TV take off. He took off of the mechanics area before there was a red flag. So,
yes, he did. And
I think that
when they were
working
on it, they had not told anybody that there was a staggered start yet. It was pandemonium down there. And they were all back at the starting line. That's when they worked on it. So there was some of that also.
But also, he entered the mechanics area from the back after passing it and making a turn. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just, yeah. We wonder why we can't solve lappers. We don't have enough eyeballs or people enforcing this stuff. All right. Tom Vial, fourth place. His fastest lap was almost half a second slower than everybody else. He's gone 5-4. He's the defending champ. And kind of, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, toot, toot. But I was saying on one of the previews
that
I just didn't think he had the raw speed of many guys in this class. And I think it's kind of turning out that way. Been good, like 5-4 to start the year. You know?
Yeah, RJ getting him, and
yeah,
RJ's pretty far behind, I think, after he fell.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
And they got him like that. Yeah. And RJ is not 100%.
No.
That was impressive.
Yeah. I think, I mean, look, Vial won the title fair and square, and Timmy Ferry won the title without winning a race. No one's taking his number one plate away. But I just think last year's title was so, like, muddy track helped out, right? Just so much shitty conditions, and he won it. I'm not saying that, but it was just, yeah. All right, Thrasher.
I would agree. I just don't want anyone to keep receipts, so I'm just not agreeing just to be cool.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say he's not going to win this title with fifths and fourths. That's not going to happen.
No.
In my opinion, not going
to
happen.
But I don't think if he hole shots, these guys are half a second a lap better. Best lap
That's
to best lap. Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to be better.
Yeah.
Like fifths and fourths, they're not going to do it.
No. Thrasher rode pretty well considering, the finger. Finger injury that he's got dealing with right now, rode pretty well. Because I heard he was out.
He got fifth in the main, right?
Yeah.
But I saw him this morning, and his, like, whole hand was wrapped, and I think he's getting surgery on it this week.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right.
So I don't know if it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
It did not look great this morning. And
it did get worse. Yeah, he said it on social. Oh. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, I'm putting pieces together so we has more information.
There you go. You were accurate.
Okay, so he's probably out. Hyman,
no, he still thinks he can race because they got a weekend off.
Weekend off, okay. All right.
He thinks he can race Daytona.
Hyman 6, quiet night for Chance. If you guys have anything to add, let me know.
I watched him all day. He looked really good, but his starts are killing him right now. He looked much, much better than he did in Tampa, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the feistiness, he had a little bit more fire, but he's got to figure out how to get further up front on the first lap.
Faulkner had an inflation. The Alpine Stars Tech Air did inflate in practice. We have a first ever inflation. All right, cool.
Yeah,
was I the first ever inflation?
That's true.
I don't understand. What?
JDT did it on TV last week.
Oh, yeah. Right.
With Chad.
I was thinking he's really worried about inflation in the country, Weege. So I was going with that.
Like, I am worried about that.
I know. Yeah. That's where I was like, my mind immediately went to that.
JDT always has inflation on the brain.
You see the price of eggs, man?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you did that. You did it last week. we had it on the track. So I like that thing. I think it's great. I think they're going to try to get me one. I'm a believer, man. I know some of the guys that wrote it said it's heavy and hot, and that's fine. But you know. So Austin Faulkner, he's still a little sick. He wasn't 100% again. Kind of underwhelming. He did come from the back. He parked. Cullen said it was from last week. Cullen did it to him, but they still had words in the tunnel, I guess.
I have a question.
Yep.
Does anybody know what the hell was going on with the Mumford? And Faulkner and on the hot lap in Tampa. Do we ever get any clarity on that?
I didn't even see it. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Was it qualifying practice?
I didn't see it.
I think it was qualifying practice.
Okay.
They're just rolling around, and I'm pretty sure it was Mumford just cleans.
Oh, no. Wait, no. Yes, I did talk to Mumphy about that. Sorry. Mumphy just said Austin looked like he was just going to cruise, and so Mumford cut inside, and then at that same moment, Faulkner grabbed gas. And so it looked bad, but he thought Austin was just cruising, and then they talked about it, and it was fine.
Really? Wow, I would have thought
Austin did say, like, WTF, but Mumphy was just like, sorry, man, like, full apologies, like, I thought you were cruising.
They looked super intentional in the moment.
Not intentional at all, yeah. Faulkner's been, he's been sick, so I guess we can't really make much of a judgment to him.
I'm actually impressed with that result, because I was watching Faulkner in practice, and I'm like, who is riding his bike?
Well, he had to go.
He looked.
He got LCQ for the first time ever.
Dude, he looked so bad. Like, so bad. I'm like, that is not Austin Faulkner. Like, nothing about it. I know he's on a different bike than he was in the past, but his style, everything. I mean, it looked, I'm like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. He's not riding well at all. And then he had to go to the LCQ. So what do you get? Ninth? Eighth?
Seventh.
Oh, seventh. Because of the, yeah, that's right. The late pass on Cullen. I'm like, if I'm him, I'm signing up for seventh all day long. The way it looked. His times weren't good in qualifying. You name it.
Mumford eighth, Holshot and Spice from Mumford. He's not 100%, like, still coming back from this leg injury from SMX. His leg looks pretty small compared to the other one, and he's not there all the way. But I don't know, man. I like Mumphy. I know JT doesn't. JT doesn't, but, you know.
You're out of control. Has he always been this aggressive?
Yes, he has been.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of degaff. I was saying in one of my group texts, like, I'd like to see him with, like, a full season on a factory bike, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody said, well, yeah, but he did ride for PC. And I'm like, yeah, but that was still a fill-in. It wasn't, like, a whole thing, you know?
So, yeah, and he'd had an Achilles before that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's something there to me with Mumford. Something. Just, I don't know. Maybe his window's closed. I don't know.
No, I agree. I think if a team's, you know, looking around, that would not be a bad one. And not that he's on a bad team.
No,
this Urive team is capable. But yes, you could see him doing really well on the absolute top tier teams. You can see he's got talent.
Yep.
I guess.
Max Volin's bike broke again in the heat, and he pulled that star from way outside in the LCQ, and he got in, and I guess it worked for the main. He got a ninth. But if you're Max, you got to be like WTF.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
but not awesome to have those issues. Henry Miller's underrated. I said that last week. I say it again. 10th place for Henry Miller. I think is he on a team? Isn't he just out of a van?
No one knows these things, Ben.
Hold on. I can look. Because did you guys know there's a Ty Lube team? And did you know that there's also a Buddy Brooks Honda team? Yeah, so
I knew there's a Ty Lube team because they were at a random Home Depot
and
spotted by our man Swisscore.
That's true.
No. Yeah, so Henry Miller rides for Buddy Brooks, who used to manage Ty Lube, and then there was a big falling out, and Buddy took his ball and started a new team with Storm Lake Honda, who used to sponsor Heath Voss back in the day. And by the way,
And Justin Brayton
back in the day. And so Henry Miller is on Storm Lake Honda Buddy Brooks Racing. I also know that the Ty Lube guys wear Answer gear. So we're seeing Answer back at the race for the first time in a while. So not since the almighty Troll Train has Answer, you know, been around.
So no, that's not true.
What are you talking about?
They had Tyler Bowers. They've had little spotty things here and there.
Troll won a moto.
I know that everything you like want to say is Troll, but there have been other things in Answer Racing since Troll Train.
Colin 11th. Hardy Munoz. Hardy is just solid. I haven't seen any. I mean, okay, granted, I was at home, so you guys aren't exactly zooming in on Hardy, but in Tampa, I saw no Hardy moments.
No, you had it. You haven't seen anything Hardy at all.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen him on TV.
Dude, the switch to Yamaha is just smooth them out. That's what it does when you get on Blue Crew. It just smooths you out.
Oh, if you were there on press day Friday, your story would be different.
Oh, was there an incident?
Well, he was chased from Race Day Live.
Mm-hmm.
After we were talking about the red blue flag thing, not frag, but flag. He's like, dude, Hardy Munoz is riding like it's a main event out there. And I'm like, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
That's Hardy. And he's like, he's the first guy tripling onto that table,
yeah,
which he was. And then everybody was watching it closely. And then I did see him, almost endo. And I'm like, that's it.
Yep.
That's it right there. That's the Hardy we know and love.
Yeah, yeah. I got a text from someone from the what the hell? Wherever they ride? Where do they ride? Sandbox.
South of the border?
No, Sandbox. Sandbox. I got a text from. I said in Tampa, Hardy was so solid this weekend, and this person replied, "He crashed three times in a whoops last week, and just kept getting up and hitting them faster."
Yep. I will always stick to the fact that Latin American riders are loose.
Yeah.
Like, they are willing to take more chances than, I don't know what it is. It's like a cultural thing.
Even the great.
They are so cindy.
Even the great Marty Davalos, as good as he was.
It's there is no exception to this rule.
No. No. Trevor Colup, 2 weeks in a row, good ride. Gage Linville, Dirt Bike Depot guys, 14th. Chambers is back in the main. Lorenzo made his first main. Well, I guess it's only been two races, but Lorenzo rode much better than he did at Tampa. In Tampa, I watched him right in front of me. A guy went down on the landing of the triple. And stay with me here, guys. The flagger wasn't the most observant. I know. Crazy, right? And then Lorenzo landed right on his bike and broke some fingers. Cracked some fingers or something. So at Tampa, he was hurting. This week, he was much better. 16th for Lorenzo. Hamaker, just sick, right? That's it? Didn't crash? Just, it looked like to me on lap times, he just went backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he was feeling well.
Mark Finnis qualified 40th. Maybe 41st, and maybe he got in. Hold on, I got to look. I swear he was 41st.
Yeah, I thought he was not in. That he was in.
Made the main, though.
Yeah, but I thought he had not made the Nitro, but...
Okay,
he was in?
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know how this works. He was 48th. So I don't know how he went from 48th overall. I'm asking people.
I have no idea. I didn't this know. This is all news to me.
Because I was like, holy shit, Finnis didn't make the night show. How did Finnis?
I have a feeling Benassi was involved.
Hey, man, he's done a bunch of press days. Just put him in. He's been here for the 5 a.m. press days. So Finnis was 48th overall, and then he made the main event. We'll get to the bottom of this. I've asked some people.
I bet a staggered restart was involved.
Bose Pflug, 19th, 20th. Aiden Shiv, that was his first main. Shive. He's a amateur kid.
Yeah, he's an 83 compound guy.
Okay, so I was just told that Carroll's bike broke in practice.
It did. It blew up.
Okay, but there's seven guys' bikes blew up in practice?
I had no idea.
Eight guys
I
went home?
I confirmed Carroll's bike blew up. That, I had nothing else.
Okay, all right. What could have happened is those guys didn't make it. They loaded up and went home. And literally Finnis, who was eighth.
Told you, Benassi. Just waiting outside the AMA truck.
They say he was 41st. And I'm like, it says 48 here. I'm looking at it. It says 48. I don't know, man. Okay. This is okay. All right. My Isaiah Clark 21st, and then McAdoo crashing out.
I think Isaiah Clark got hurt.
McAdoo, he hurt his knee again, collarbone.
Oh man, he took one to the face. That was bad.
Come on, McAdoo. I'm so mad at Cameron. And he's a friend of mine. He's a good guy.
But this is what he does. It's unfortunately what he does.
You can't do that, man.
But, like, I'm a huge McAdoo fan.
Yeah, we all are.
I shouldn't be biased, but I really like Cameron McAdoo. But this is who he is. Unfortunately, this is who he is. He takes a lot of risk, and... I think, you know, it works until it doesn't. When it doesn't work, it really bites him.
Okay, so back to Finnis. I got an app, screenshot of the app where he's 40th, and I got my photo where he's 48th. Okay. All right, man.
Is this Doris's work?
No, Doris is gone. Doris is gone. After I threatened, I think, to burn this.
Did Doris get doged?
No. I was saying last year, Weege thinks it was because I was saying last year that I'm taking a flamethrower to the AMA timing and scoring room if they don't fix it. Last year, I was so mad. But anyways, I got 48th. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Back to McAdoo. Stop it. Stop doing this, Cameron.
Well, he's going to stop for a while.
Like, dude, I don't know, man.
We heard hurt collarbone. Do we know he's done? Or is he going to be at Daytona anyway?
I heard he did his knee in it worse. You saw him limping off.
Which worse does it get?
I don't know. The other one's torn? I don't know. But, like, those whoops weren't that hard. The night show, they rolled them. I talked to some guys.
Oh, you got
to
hit the brakes, man.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. When things are going sideways, don't just stay in it and hope it goes to the best, you know? Like, there has to be some sort of line where you're like, okay, I've got to back out of this thing and hit the brakes. And I'm specifically talking about Cameron because I've seen this a lot where he's just like, nope, I'm staying in it. And sometimes you just have to know when to fold them. You know, like,
I don't,
you got to know that if I stay in this, I'm going to crash really bad. So I've got to do everything possible to not do that.
He cut his face open.
Yeah, handlebar to the face will do that.
Dude, it makes me so mad. Like, stop it. But stop doing this.
I know, but, yeah, and I know you're – I'm saying the same thing you are, but I just think this is a decision-making process that he is not adhering to when things are past the point of no return. He thinks he can ride it out. And we've seen it. Where do we see him? In Tampa, he had one of those. We're like, oh, my God, how did he save that? And he did. But you only get away with so many of those, and when he doesn't, they go really poorly.
It's horrific.
I learned a lot hanging out with you, JT, and RC up in the booth, and it's you two. Okay, as you know, RC was a little bit higher level.
Tiny bit.
You do both share the importance of showing up to the races. As you always said, you only got paid if you showed up. And I would have never, from having watched Ricky ride, where it just looked like he was just wide the hell open all the time. It is amazing to hear how much he thought about points, 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 season, 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 management, management, management. And hearing you two constantly talk about that jump's sketchy. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Like, now that I've learned this really in part from you guys, you realize that the same guys generally have bad luck a lot more than some other guys. And then you realize there is luck involved, but some of it is, as you say, the bikes do have brakes.
Yeah, it's risk assessment and decision-making and all those things, you know?
Not going back a while ago, but, like, yeah, it's why a guy like Nick Way made a lot of money and was really valuable. He got thrown into a creek at Millville and broke his back, but generally Nick could just show up and get top 10s and get five or six, make a few podiums for so long. Nick was so solid. You know, and Andrew Short the same way, right? Like,
I talked to Chad Reed about this a lot. Like, 04, 08, 09, those title years, like, a lot of people say that, you know, Ricky was out, James was out, and he's like, that's fine, but a big part of this game is being there. Like, that is a big part of it, and those guys weren't able to do it, and guess what? I was, and I won. So, like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, you have to. You know, he always say, like, you have to be in it to win it, which is super cliche, but it's true. Like, it's another cliche, the best ability you can have is availability. Like, those are real things in a sport that has the attrition rate that ours does. That's probably as succinctly as I can put it.
Okay, but then I will counter that. I agree with you, but I will play devil's advocate and say McAdoo's contract and his whole thing, he's fine. He's good. He's been rewarded for his speed. And
But could he make small adjustments in his decision making and still be as good? I don't think, like, this wild huckabuck through the whoops is what's getting him to the front. Like, it's his ability. I'm saying that he can take the great things he's doing and make small tweaks to it and then be a true title contender, because these things, the bad side, the negatives, are what's keeping him from being a title contender. That's, to me, the problem. I don't think one is necessitating the other. I think one is precluding him reaching the goals that he has set for himself.
And also, to be fair, he's gotten hurt a few times from bike malfunctions, so it's not him.
Well,
I guarantee, I can already, you already know what happened last night. He was up to third, he was up to fourth, and then looked like he had a small tip over and got back to eighth. And then he was panicking and going wide open to get back those spots that he lost when he tipped over, you know?
Yeah, and he's not the only perpetrator of this.
No.
RJ does it. Like, a lot of guys do it.
Hardy?
I don't want to pick on Cam here. I'm just saying it's hard to watch this guy that we all like do this same kind of thing over and over. Like, it's tough to watch.
I don't know who I'm more upset at, Chase or Cameron, right now. Both of them are not getting any Valentines from me. Not happy.
You watch Webb, and when he's battling Roczen, there are two or three times, maybe three times, where he's trying to line up a line in the whoops, or at least to get Jiroxen by the next corner. And he realizes it's not going to happen. He's too close to Kenny. He might run into the whoops. And he backs it down. He just bangs the front end off the last couple of whoops. And he's like, yep, didn't work. Didn't work. I'll try somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And you virtually never see Cooper Webb, just to pick one, just like Chad. You never see Cooper Webb get taken out. Almost never. You never see him run into the back of people. Almost never. Racing's dangerous. And the only reason I bring this up is to say, we all know Supercross dangerous, dirt bikes are dangerous, motorcycles are dangerous. But in between those margins, there are things you can do to mitigate it. And a perfect example is three times Webb had a chance to take the lead in the whoops and chose, too risky.
Yep.
And that's the difference.
Yep. I used to have this thing I would always kind of tell myself, like, is this going to be the last race of your life? Probably not. Right? And this is me talking to myself. So don't approach the race like it is. You know what I mean? Like, don't take risks that, like, this is the last chance that you're ever going to get in your entire life, because you need to live in your racing career to see another day. Like, and you have somewhere in your racing psyche that has to be there.
Wasn't it for me today when I was sending it, but no, you're right. All right. Either one of you two visit the press box at all? Drop in on the hardworking journalists?
I hung out with Lewis and Kellen.
Okay.
And what's the Alpine Stars guy's name?
Jeff.
Jeff.
Okay. Weech?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make it there, Weech?
I did not cross paths with the two hosts of Race Day Live, Adam Cianciulo and Justin Brayton. And I don't know.
Wait, you did or you didn't? Sorry. You did or you didn't?
I did. And then, I don't know, once I was talking to this Justin Brayton fellow, I just couldn't pull myself away.
Wow. Sad.
Yeah.
Was Lewis acting, JT, how was Lewis acting? Normal, or was he acting like he was the man, like he's been lately, or?
No, you're like the only guy that does that up there.
Oh, wow. Please. All right. That's a wrap on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Detroit review. Anything
else? I got one more quick thing.
Oh, yep.
So it is an annual tradition. There is a gorgeous restaurant at the base of the General Motors Renaissance Tower in Detroit.
Mm.
Club MX invites a few key VIPs to this dinner. The restaurant is owned by a gentleman whose son rides at Club MX.
Mm.
So they treat us to an absolute 4 or 5 star gourmet, as good as it gets. This is where, like, the millionaire executives of these auto manufacturers.
JT get the invite or JT show up? No?
I did not get the invite, and I did not show up.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not. I don't know if Mike B invited you.
I want to check your email settings, JT.
Yeah. All right. Check it out. Maybe your text settings. But then the Jet Zoom interview, which Steve enjoyed, ended up being scheduled at the exact same time as the dinner. So I missed the dinner.
You missed the dinner.
With a heavy heart.
Jet could only do this at 6 o'clock at night, or 7 o'clock at night?
8 o'clock.
Yes. That was literally good news, bad news. We're going to get Jet. The bad news is it will start at 8 p.m. Friday night.
Oh, Eastern time. I'm out. I'm telling Bondo or Cabrera or Mui or someone. I'm out.
We know.
We know you're out.
I'm out. Like, tell Jet we can do it at 9 a.m. before, you know, like 9 a.m. the next day, or 8 o'clock in the morning the next day before we go to the track. You'll have 8 hours to edit it and put in the show. Surely to God, there must be a better time then. You think Lee Diffie is getting out of the Ritz and going to do this interview at 8:30?
This is probably also not a guy who does a Monday night show until like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, well, JT, that's because, you know, I'm nobody. I'm grinding away here trying to make a living. Weege is royalty, Supercross royalty.
Oh. I'm also the guy who, when the 3 to 4 hour live race broadcast is over, I then start doing another show called the Weege Show. So it's really no big deal to me.
Yeah, and I got a compliment, by the way, last weekend. Guy said he loved it. Love the Steege show, he said. And I'm like, cool, man.
Oh, yours?
Yeah, yeah, yep. Absolutely loved it.
Okay.
Some fan.
Well, maybe we'll bring it back.
Some fan. I said, did you like it how I didn't have it horizontally? And he didn't know what I was talking about. Like, he didn't.
Oh.
Like, he didn't even get the joke.
Very intelligent.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't really, you know, because I was trying to make crack at myself. But all right, we're on to Dallas. Best, one of the best stadiums on the circuit, and maybe the best dirt now. We're up right up there with the dirt and the stadium and everything. Yeah, it's great. So,
hope they don't have the dirt from the speedway.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
That's a wild contrast. So you actually think Arlington is the best dirt?
It's up there. It's good.
That is wild.
Yeah. Talk to these racers. Talk to the guys. They'll tell you. It's great.
Yeah.
Military theme this weekend.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
sure. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Weege, JT. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change me up. Don't change.